Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, September 17th, 2017. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, I'm going to read just a portion of our sermon text again to kind of refresh the children's minds, because when I was a kid, I could remember really, really good for about, 20 seconds. So, children, this is what's going to be used for our children's devotion. Samson called out to the Lord. He said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Give me strength, I pray, this one more time, O God. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen." I now invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion. And we'll be explaining about these carabiners. Are they on that one? The light's not on. I don't know. Someone's watching. Oh, there we are. Hi. They're using carabiners. And there you go. Oh, good morning, 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 good morning. Good morning. I have here something. It's called a carabiner. Okay? It goes like this. This is how he opens up and shuts like that. And you know why that is? That's so that you can easily hook onto something. And it doesn't, it stays, you can, you don't have to sit there and I'm gonna thread the needle right. It just goes chip, chip, hooks right on. Okay? Some of you brought yours up with you. Did you bring yours up with you? Okay, do you want to take one and pass it around? Take one, pass it around. Make sure everyone has one. Because I want you to see how these work. Because when Samson was growing up, Samson learned about Jesus just like you guys are learning about Jesus. Samson loved Jesus just like you guys love Jesus. Samson had parents that loved Jesus just like your guys' parents. So it was very much the same. But as Samson got older, let's say high school, college age, Samson got all stuck on himself. What does that mean when you're stuck on yourself? What does it mean when you're stuck on yourself? You don't know what that means? That means that you think you're the best. It doesn't matter what matters. Not at all. It doesn't matter what Austin thinks. Not at all. Because it's what you think. Thank you very much. I'm the best. And they're kind of snooty and kind of full of a icky kind of pride. And Samson said, "I don't need no faith in no God. I got my own stuff." And he threw his faith away. Now, I don't know if you know what they're used for, but they're used for mountain climbing. Because in mountain climbing, you don't want to sit there and say, "Let's see, I should thread the needle and make a little knot." You know, you just want to take this and hook it onto something quick because you don't want to fall. And so you have to go, okay, got it. So he threw away his faith. But God has a very big carabiner. And God loves his kids. He wants us in heaven with him. And today, if you listen closely, you're going to hear that God found a way to even rescue this guy who didn't want to be saved. He didn't want any help at all. So this is a carabiner. And what you can do is you can remind yourself that God wants to hook into you, and he can so easy. All the time. And he does it with his word. That's how he makes it really, really strong. So what I want you to do is take this home, and you can show a friend and say, "You know, I got this from church today. It has something to do with faith. I think it has to do with the fact that God is hooked into me, and he's going to keep me. I think that's what it's about, because that's what it's about." Okay, let's fold our hands and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for making sure that I know about you. Thank you for giving me grown-ups in my life who make sure that I hear what you have to say, and that I learn what you have to teach in your word. Please help me when I get older not to throw away my faith, but instead to hang on to you, because you're the God who saves me. Amen. And now you may go back to your seats. You know, as I'm reading God's word, I ran into this guy called Samson. He's quite a remarkable guy when you think about it. So I asked him about his marriage. I asked him about life. I asked him about his buds. I asked him what he felt about the politics of the day, because, you know, I'm kind of interested in stuff going on in the world. And the more you get to know Samson, the more you realize he'll answer you if he feels like answering you. He could care less, you know. He looked around, and I get the feeling that if you were to ask Samson about God, he would get kind of mad and disinterested at the same time. He wouldn't want to talk about God, and yet he would want to talk about God. I don't know if you've ever run into someone like that. They say they're really mad at God. They just don't like God. And you say, well, you know, don't talk to me about religion. I have a feeling that Samson was kind of like that. But those kind of people normally want to talk about God, and they normally want to talk about what God is doing in life. When you ask them, as I can imagine asking Samson, what is it about your God that you don't like, that you're living such a godless lifestyle? He says, well, who cares? If there's a God up there, he's kind of wimpy. I'm Samson. He's not stopping me. So either he's not there, or he's wimpy, or maybe he just doesn't care about me because I'm just an itty-bitty little human. Maybe that's what it is. Well, whatever. I just don't want to talk about him. If you run into somebody like that, as I'm certain you will in your life, you can tell them, you know, I don't believe in that God either. Because that's a God in someone's mind, a twisted dark mind. That's not the God in the scriptures. God has revealed himself as the good God, the God of free and faithful grace who loves us. Samson could care less about that. Samson was all into doing his thing, his way, thank you very much. And so it led him to, lie, commit all arson, to break things, to break rules, to break people, to break hearts. Samson went from one one-night stand to another. He hung around with prostitutes until he finally met up with some really cute chick by the name of Delilah. She was politically connected too, wealthy too. How cool is that? So he's hanging around with his living girlfriend. The living girlfriend is politically connected, but she's connected to a group of people at that time called the Philistines. God had told the Israelites that he had judged all of this group of people. They were incredibly wicked and rebellious, and they were judged. They were to be put to death because God said so. End of discussion. Well, they didn't do it. And here are the Philistines, and they come up to Delilah, and they say, hey, Delilah, what's Samson's secret to his strength? And she says, I don't know. And he said, well, you better find out, because if you don't find out, we are going to kill your family. And then we're going to kill you. But I tell you, if you do find out, we're going to make you really rich and keep you well connected. And we'll get rid of the Samson guy to boot. So she's put into a pickle. But she's not a believer, so she doesn't talk to Samson, her husband, about this. No, she doesn't talk to God about it because she doesn't believe in God. She tries to figure out what is Samson's weak spot. And we're told after a couple of failed attempts, she needled him day after day after day and wore him down until finally he did share what his secret was. The secret was that he was obeying God, who had told him not to cut his hair so that he could be given this great gift of strength. So she had his hair shaved off. He became a wimp. And then they gouged out his eyes, made him a slave for their god Dagon, and had a lot of fun with him. Mean, cruel, wicked people. Getting back to Samson. Before we this text, you see that Samson was, he knew about God. He was not having his hair cut. He knew about him, but it's kind of like all those phrases like God loves you that you hear growing up. All those phrases, you know, God loves you. I can say that. I can say that in my sleep. I might even have a bumper sticker, God loves you. I might have a little thing on the window saying God loves you. But how many Christians are like Samson? They go through life and they see those things and they hear those things, and it never makes it past the hearing into the heart. Doesn't really believe it. Oh, God loves you, yeah. But me? Can you imagine talking with Samson? How can you say God loves me? I'm Samson. Do you know what I've done? I sleep with anybody I want to sleep with. Why? Because I can. Why? Because they love me. Because I got the muscles. I got the biceps. I got the, my stomach is just a six-pack. You can't hold me back. I have freedom. People try to chain me up. They try to keep me inside. I just break out. No problem. I'm Samson. God, you say, well, I know that God loves me. He must, because I got all this strength. You don't. You guys are all wimpy. I'm strong. God must love me. I am free to go wherever I want because God must love me. That's how those people think. That's how Samson thinks. But one of the cool things about God's word is that he records the details of Samson's life so that we can learn. You say you have faith, God says. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, but they tremble in terror. So as you're looking at Samson, and you're thinking, well, this is God's judge that he had raised up to get rid of the Philistines, and since he is behaving like the very people he's supposed to get rid of, how can that be? How can someone who knows about the true God behave and act in a way that says that God isn't there, or that he doesn't care, or he doesn't care about me? Well, there's a couple of ways that happens. One is that there's guilt. I think in Samson's case, towards the end of his life, that's what happened. He came face to face with the fact that there is a real God, and he had spent his life running away from him and dishonoring him. He's kind of fell into the camp of Job. Job said this, "My ears had heard of you, O Lord, but now my eyes have seen you, and therefore I despise myself." The Apostle Paul, another guy, lived his life trying to kill off Christians. The Lord finally turned him around, and he said, "I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." So one of the things that could have been happening with Samson is that this guilt of real things happening, this guilt was really big in his eyes. Or the fact that maybe God is so big and so powerful, he's like kind of like this force and it doesn't really matter what I do. Who am I? Moses said that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. King David said, "Who am I? Who are my people that we could give anything to you, Lord?" Gideon said, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family." In the histories that God leaves for us right here, we know that we people sometimes feel like we are insignificant in God's eyes. That he couldn't possibly have all of his attention on me, loving and caring for me, and at the same time, loving and caring for Evan, and at the same time, loving and caring for Rod. He can't do that. But he can. And since the Lord blessed me and Donna with children, that's how he taught me. If the Lord gives you children, or if you've seen this and how it works out in families, you know that when a child comes into the family, it doesn't split the love between the husband and wife. It multiplies it. I thought I couldn't love Donna any more than I did. And then the Lord gave us our first child. And I found out not only did I love her more, I had enough love for my other child. And then the Lord gave us another child. And I thought, oh, that love is going to split. No, it just becomes more because you love each of them individually as persons. God loves each of us individually as persons. And since you are God's child, think about that. You're God's child. You should know something about this God that we serve, the God of the Bible, not the God that people talk about on the radio and the TV, the God of the Scriptures, that when you read it and you open it, you find out that God is in crazy love with you, head over heels in love with you. He wants the very best for you. There's nothing you can do that will make him love you more. There's nothing that you can do that will make him love you less. Because God isn't like what the world thinks he's like. God is love. He is just being himself when he says, I love you. And he proved it when he sent his son to a cross in our place. And his son willingly went and gave up his life so we could go scot-free. He took that carabiner of his word and promises and he hooked onto us and he says, I'm not going to let you go. With me, that happened when I was a little bitty baby at baptism. I don't ever remember a time not being connected to my Lord. What a blessing that is. Question is, why? Why would God love you? Why would God love Samson? Because that's who God is. God does not love you based on your performance. God does not love you based on how well and how often you come to church. God does not love you based on anything that you do. It's all based on him. I want you to see in Samson's case exactly how much God loved him. God had given him great superhuman strength. And that superhuman gift of strength was leading Samson away from God. So God took back his gift. God gave Samson the gift of freedom. So God took away that gift. God gave Samson the gift of eyesight, and he used it to indulge in lust and lead himself down into dark, dirty paths. So God let his gift of sight be taken away. Samson was very, very popular. Everyone loved Samson, so God took away his popularity and let him be an object to be scorned and made fun of like a sick, wounded clown. Just like an animal grinding out grain. And then God gave him the gift of time. And in that gift of time, without freedom, without distractions, without his eyesight, without anything in his life of him, he remembered the God who keeps his promises. He remembered the God of free and faithful grace who promised to never give up on his people. He remembered that. And what happened when he remembered that? He remembered that God's love is strong. He remembered that God loves to help his people. And so now he uses an interesting word. God chose a really interesting word when he says, Samson called out to the Lord in prayer. It's not like this. Dear Lord, I'm sorry, I really messed up my life. I'm really, you know, all these people around me here, I can hear them. I can't see them anymore because, you know, it was not like that at all. The word used is what you use when you're right in front of somebody and you want to get their attention. He said, Lord God, remember me. Remember your great mercy. Remember your kindness. Remember how you loved your people. Remember your plan for me. Lord God, strengthen me. The same word that we use when we're confirmed. strengthen me. Same word that that dad used when he's trying to help his son. He said, Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Strengthen me. And he said, you know, Lord, my whole life long I've been doing things my way. If you want me to die as I'm doing this for you, so be it. I'm good with that. Because I know you have my best in mind. So with that, he leaned against the pillars and wrapped in the strength of God's love. He did one last thing in keeping with God's purpose for him. And he removed 3,000 wicked people that he was supposed to have taken care of his whole life long. One act. So what can you and I learn? I hope that you can remember Samson when you go back. I hope you don't remember that he's just a strong guy or a wicked guy or the big man on campus who can have his way with any little woman that he wants. No. I hope you remember that he was not just politically connected and liked to show off. No. I hope that you remember that this was a man that God loved so much that he was not going to let anything get between him and heaven. And so he removed gift after gift after gift until finally Samson saw the real, true, living God for who he really is. Believers, you and I, that's what we go for. So that we can say along with the Apostle Paul, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither the present nor the past nor the future nor any powers, no demons, no height, no depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing is able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Samson was just looking forward to that day. We know that it actually happened. So trust God. In his name, so let us live. Amen.